to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for Frank Gaffney, who is away. Joining me now is a good friend of the program. He's the author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and host of Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. He is our friend, Kevin Freeman. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Kyle.
Kevin, I wanted to have you on to talk about some breaking news regarding Russian intelligence using antivirus software from Kaspersky to gain control of hacking tools from our intelligence community. As the story goes, the Israelis actually had broken into Kaspersky for their own purposes, only to watch as Russian intelligence used the software to hunt for U.S. intelligence. Why on earth was Kaspersky in U.S. government machines to begin with?
You know, Kaspersky is held in the public realm. We're one of the foremost software security companies, Symantec only better, McAfee only better. They were one of the early finders of an Apple worm that was going around, and Kaspersky has really built up a reputation in the security community. On the other hand, those of us who are suspicious of Russia and intelligence agencies and what they can do have warned about using foreign software. And in fact, one of the biggest warnings is Vladimir Putin himself kicking out all foreign software from Russia. Well, it tells you that he's worried about this, probably because he knows he's doing it.
Kaspersky on U.S. machines essentially provided something of a backdoor for Russian intelligence. And while some of our advanced intelligence community organizations like CIA, NSA, they weren't using Kaspersky, but groups like State Department and some of the other federal government agencies were, and it leads to this problem. Now, Kevin, you had a recent article where you talked about the threat that exists to any company, and also the U.S. government, when it comes to their IT supply chain, that is, the people who provide your software. If it's a foreign country that you're getting your software from, there's a pretty big risk that a foreign government can see what you're up to. Is that right?
Oh, that's not only right, but it goes beyond that. So as you pointed out, the CIA and others may have been alert to Kaspersky. The DOD had been using it, and they had to have it removed from DOD systems. But what happens when a contractor comes in? You have two risks with a contractor. You have the Edward Snowden risk, that they themselves go rogue and take data and send it places. Or you have the second risk, that they unknowingly bring software in that causes problems. In this case, the NSA leakage apparently happened from an NSA contractor who happened to use Kaspersky on his personal computer, maybe not his home, but his work computer, and that was brought into the building and sensitive information was taken off onto it, and that gave access. If you have one break in the chain, the entire chain is broken and is useless. That's why we talk about being inside the wire is normally a safe thing, and I wrote this in globaleconomicwarfare.com in my current post, but if you get the enemy inside the wire, it's a very dangerous thing. And we've been inviting, either by contractor or by just bringing in foreign software, we've been inviting the potential enemies inside our wire, and they have. We'll see results of things like the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, being hacked, with the NSA being hacked and their tools stolen and being used to hack other places. You know, it's a very dangerous situation.
Well, you know, Kevin, you and I talk a lot about how there's a certain naivety in the economic space when it comes to these sorts of issues. Company owners and even IT staff, they don't want to think about how these, you know, what their role is in sort of the larger strategic context. They're just looking for the best price on antivirus, or they're just looking for the best price on some other software that they need. How do we encourage them to have a different understanding of where they sit in terms of the overall threat? and the risk?
Well, it starts because we have a globalist mindset. And I say this all the time. What we view as a global marketplace, our enemies view as a global battle space. And so there's multiple ways that you can address it. You can address it the Russian way and say, no outside software, period. You can address it the Chinese way, which is if you're an outside software supplier or outside supplier of any kind, when you enter our country and do business to reach our customers, you have to turn over the magic keys to all of the security within your software. So Microsoft gave the source codes to the software that they were selling in China, which gives them a backdoor. It hands them. This is it's akin to intellectual property theft, but it's really a forced transaction where it's forced taking of our intellectual property, and that's another approach. And we live in a free society, an open society, if you were, and we intend to have exchange, but we've got to be on a war footing mentally as well as in our decision making. We've got to imagine loose lips sink ships. In this case, bad software corrupts everybody. When you share flash drives, you've got to be aware of it. We've got to have that sort of sensitivity that we're not all one big happy global family all working together. That is being sold in Washington on a daily basis. But it's just not factually correct, and it will bring about our demise if we continue to go down that track.
I think that's a very good point, Kevin. I mean, it's difficult for us to ask private sector companies to be more Catholic than the Pope, if you will. And what we've seen from even our own U.S. government is a willingness to tolerate certain levels of behavior from either the Russians or the Chinese or their various firms, which are sort of public-private mixtures that we really oughtn't tolerate. But how do we get sort of a grassroots response to encourage both private and public sector officials to take security seriously?
Well, we're doing a couple of things. My blog, globaleconomicwarfare.com, we're pointing out these issues, and we're training financial advisors to tell clients, because in the end, it's individuals who will be harmed. The death of a nation or a collapse of an economy harms individuals. And those individuals, if they're made aware, they'll demand from their investment advisor, for example, I want to be invested in things that promote America and support America rather than things that harm America. And they'll demand that there are safeguards on their data, their information, their security. And by doing so, we'll have then aggregate blocks of individuals that will demand this from Washington. And that's also the purpose of the program Economic War Room. That television program will be to educate people about the risks and then tell them practical things that they can do to address the risks. And this one on Chinese IP abrogation, where they're just stealing technology by demanding if you want to do business here, that's woken up some people that maybe 10 years ago would be, oh, the Chinese are our friends and we can count on them and that's a great market we want to be into. Well, business leaders have seen the change over the past 10, 20 years, and they realize this is not in our favor. Even Henry Kissinger has recently talked about Chinese and how they're literally taking technology. And this is the man that helped Nixon open China. So we're waking up to it. We just need to speed up the process, get on a war footing. We're in a global economic war, and we can win the war, but we have to be aware that we're in it.
Kevin, I really appreciate you making that point. I think it's really important that all of our listeners understand the role that they themselves can play. This is not just about something that the government's going to do for you. This is something you're going to have to do for yourself. You're going to have to take your own security seriously. You're going to have to take the security of your network, your company's network, seriously if you want to play a part in this global economic war. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today here on Secure Freedom Radio. As always, it's been a pleasure. Until next time, this has been Kyle Scheidler, guest hosting for Frank Gaffney on Secure Freedom Radio.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.